Today is the 2nd of March, 2024, Sabbath day. And if you have your Bibles handy, please open them up to Acts chapter 13. We're going to start at verse 41. Let's see, maybe we can go back a verse or two. No, we're going to just start at 41. I did that last week and didn't realize I got... Yeah, and I'm believing it was for someone that needed to hear it, because we more or less repeated verse 40 last week, but the Lord allowed a whole different direction in regards to what was needed to be said. And so verse 41, it says, "Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you." Now, this is a pretty intense verse, but then again, there's not a lot of verses in the Bible that aren't, you know, because truth is truth, and it's powerful, and it blesses our hearts, and he angers the hearts of the enemy, which is none of our concern, because that's all on him. And so, but this statement here where Paul says that, "Behold, ye despisers, and wonder and perish." It can also be said in today's language by, check it out, those of you that scoff, you're going to be amazed at the truth I proclaim. And due to your lack of faith, you're still going to die in your sins. It's today's world. Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1. Because a majority of them out there call themselves Christians. I mean, at the same time, such a statement as this reminds me of what was penned in Ezekiel 18, verse 31. You know, because it's something that, because we know the Old Testament is really no different than the New, except in regards to all the prophecies that pointed towards the New and the building up of the doctrines. And but the New Testament was given so as to better understand the Old. And then, of course, the Lord blessed us here in the end of days, like 150 or so, or like 200 years before, I mean, a little less than 200 years before it all ends. He blessed us with the spirit of prophecy. But Ezekiel 18:31 says, thank you, Brother Anthony. It says, "Cast away from you all your transgressions whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel?" Paul was speaking to those in the audience that can't hear his words, which also reminds me of another verse in Matthew 13, verse 15. Because like I said, it's just everything just, I like the way the Bible works, you know, back and forth with itself, especially when it comes to prophecy. And that's why you see all the bogus Bibles out there, because you can't study prophecy with like the NIV, the NASB, the New King James. It's got to be the King James, because that's the only one that, first of all, matches the Dead Sea Scrolls, for one thing. But second of all, when you're trying to study an Old Testament prophetic statement, and then you want to cross-reference up to the New, or even in the New Testament prophetic statement, you want to cross-reference back to the Old Testament, it's not going to happen, because the words they use in the Old don't match the ones they use in the New, and vice versa. Now, yeah, there's some names that are changed, like instead of Elijah, it says Elias, you know, and stuff like that, but that's really pretty easy to figure that out. But some of the prophetic statements, they, and the way they're built and structured, and the way certain things happen around the prophetic statement, like the in-context reason for the prophecies, be it old or new, they lock in. It's always the same truth, Old or New Testament. And but again, in a bogus Bible, you can't do that. And that's why the overwhelming majority out there believe things like a secret rapture, 7-year trib, or 1,000 years of peace on earth and stuff like that, because thousands of verses have been purposely removed. That's why I made that sermon decades ago about bogus Bibles, and then the Lord moved me to make a page about it on the website. But it's amazing how many people trust those books, because they're not Bibles. They're copyrighted too, because, you know, they've been edited, so they can copyright them. And that's what they'll do. They'll copyright them so no one else takes, you know, their work, so they can make money. And so Matthew 13:15 says that his people, or his people's heart is waxed gross. Yeah, for this people's heart is waxed gross. I'm sorry. I removed the T instead of leaving it there. So instead of his, it's this. This people's heart is waxed gross. And their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. It reminds me of the verse where it says that they are willingly ignorant, especially when you think about the flood. There's evidence off the chart that the flood was global, and then when the water, like assuaged, as you call it, off the northern continent, for example, you can literally see that evidence that it was a global flood just by going to the Grand Canyon. You don't have to go out in your backyard and dig stuff up, because if you went out in your backyard and dug stuff up, you're going to still see what you see at the Grand Canyon. The way the layers of sediment are so flat. There is no millions and millions and millions of years of erosion between them. They're flat. And I praise God for that Grand Canyon, because it allows people to see that they've been lied to about evolution. Because if it really was millions and millions and millions of years to do this or do that on the planet, or even the way the animals all died, and they all died in the flood plain that they dig up, that's where all the fossils are. Because ordinarily, an animal dies out in the wild, what happens? It drops dead. Somebody comes along and eats it. You ain't going to get a fossil then. But if the animal's covered in a sediment from a flood, well, then, yeah, it's definitely going to be fossilized or petrified, like wood gets petrified sitting in all that water for that long under pressure. And so that's why they find all these dinosaurs and, you know, all these fossils. I remember when I was a little kid, I they were digging up a backyard to put in a basement near me. One of our friend's backyard was getting dug up, and I went in there because I got into rocks and geology and stuff like that. I was like 10 or 11. And I found a trilobite in Bridgeview, Illinois. And the neat thing about it is Bridgeview didn't have to dig that deep because it had originally been a military air base. And so concrete was on top of everything, and then, of course, they dug it up and they built the subdivision that we were living on. And so, but a trilobite of all things, way that close to the surface? No, it has to be down about half a mile into the ground, according to evolutionists. And so, yeah, it's just all a bunch of falderal to get people to ignore. But where is that verse? Oh, that, yeah. Thanks, Brother Joe. It says, for this, they willingly are ignorant, or that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. So, yeah, in today's world, they denied a flood. That's why I like those Is Genesis History videos with Del Tekit. And he gets in there, and he starts, and he's always going to the Grand Canyon to show this stuff. And they literally have all these documentaries, on how they show all these different levels of sediment just in the United States, because that's, I guess, the limit of their research, although they do have friends in other countries. And they say, yeah, this thing we see here in the U.S. is also in the U.K. or in Europe or, you know, all those other places around the world, proving it's a global flood. But they're willingly ignorant. It kind of reminds me of that one thing that Dr. Carl Baugh talked about, where atheists were always telling them, look, if you can find us a dinosaur footprint alongside a human footprint, then we'll believe that, you know, the young earth theory, and that there is a God, right? And he found them, and he found a bunch, as a matter of fact, and he invited them to come over, and they literally looked at each other and said, impossible, and walked out. They were willingly denying it, even though it was right there in front of their eyes. And so that's just today's world. That's our difficult little row to hoe when we go out there to try to share the truth with some people, because most of them just don't want to hear it. And so, but what Paul did in this verse was to echo the prophetic statement of Isaiah and Habakkuk, because the people's blindness makes it impossible for them. And here, I'll put the verses in there rather than have Anthony chase them down here really quick. So I have them right here, so I may as well just put them in there. But Paul is telling them truth so plainly from the very Bibles that they trusted, or claiming to trust. And this is actually the same way the Jews failed to understand Christ's clear words of truth when he walked among them. You know, the word Paul echoed also confirms this method of granting Satan permission to blind people has been the norm all along. For it plainly is written in Isaiah 29:14, "Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid." And then Habakkuk said in Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 5, "Behold, ye among the heathen, in regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days, which ye will not believe, though it be told you." And that's just it. That's the willingly ignorant thing. Yeah, that's the thing, Arthur. Yeah, the human footprints were actually inside the dinosaur footprints. Forgot to mention that point. Thanks for bringing it up, brother. But yeah, they were actually in there, you know, because he was following, like we all do, especially here in winter, we get this drift that goes in between the barn and the garage, because it just swirls, you know, obviously we all know about turbulence. And it builds up. So if I want to go into the barn to get some firewood for the wood burner, I have to go through the drift every time. Well, what do you think I'm going to do the first time, the second time I go through? I'm going to walk in my old footprints, because it's a lot easier than having to go through it again and then fill up my socks with snow. And so I would assume this is going to be the norm for mankind for eons. And so, yeah, if a dinosaur goes and walks through an area that's all muddy and cruddy, you know, I would think the human would want to walk in the footprints so as to not get as deep in the mud, because first of all, the dinosaur is going to press it down with his weight. And so, but it's still going to be somewhat muddy. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been able to find a footprint in a footprint. So praise God for that. And the Lord allowed us to see it. He did that for a reason. You know, it's amazing how he works. But let's go to verse 42. And 43. Yeah, 42 and 43. It says, "And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles," you know, the pagans, "the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God." Now, after the Jews left, okay, as you see here in verse 42, you know, the Jews were gone and out of the synagogue, and the Gentiles come up to Paul. After the Jews left, the obviously blessed Gentiles approached Paul, asking him to preach next Sabbath as well. That fact prodded Paul and Barnabas to say what they did to the scoffing Jews later on in verse 46, if we get down there this Sabbath. Because we all know, I mean, that's a big tipping point when it comes to replacement theology, is verse 46. But what gets me here is how this, as well as many verses scattered in the New Testament after the cross of Christ, shows believers keeping the seventh-day Sabbath holy after the cross of Christ. I mean, the truth is, if the Sabbath was changed when Jesus resurrected, then why are believers, or especially the apostles themselves, still keeping the true Sabbath holy? Well, it's because of the prophecy found in Daniel 7:25 that said in the last days that the beast system in Rome will think to change times and laws, you know, that our God wrote. And this, the man of sin, did on March 7, 321 A.D., you know, the bishop of Rome under when he was pressuring Constantine. But as we can see, only those refusing to study and then trust their Bibles wondered after the beast and chose to keep holy his spurious Sabbath over the very God that created them. And so again, they too have ears that are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have purposely closed. They're willingly ignorant, just as Jesus said it a minute ago, you know, in Matthew 13:15. And just as Paul warned, the obedient remnant will be used of God to warn billions in the coming days that even when we are blessed to see Christ's hand perform miracles, you know, before the eyes, their eyes, you know, the eyes of the wicked and some people that are on the fence. And then, of course, the truth that comes out of our lips that cut their hearts because the Lord puts those words in our mouth to send them forth. But still, even due to their lack of faith, they're still going to die in their sins. Because we're not going to be able to reach everybody, but everyone is going to hear it. You can't change Christian prophecy. It's going to happen. But check out verse 44. And again, I have to harp on the fact that, well, here, let me read it first. It says, and the next Sabbath day came also the whole city together to hear the word of God. And so, like I intimated here a moment ago, I have to say once again that one would think that by now, you know, so many years after the cross of Christ, I'm thinking it's upwards of 30 to 40 years after the cross of Christ. If the Sabbath was really changed to Sunday, as they say today, Paul and all the other apostles would have been used to keeping Sunday holy for over 30 years by now, no doubt. And so that being the case, they would have no doubt corrected the Jews or the Gentiles that were seeking Paul to preach on the following Sabbath, that it was changed to Sunday, and he'll be there on Sunday instead of the seventh day. Yet, as biblical fact clearly states, that never happened. But something even more amazing is illustrated here. Nearly the entire city gathered to hear the truth. Remember what Jesus said? In Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, right there at the start of his Sermon on the Mount? Because his sermon is chapter 5, 6, and 7. But he says in Matthew 5, verse 6, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now notice this. I'm going to put something in the room here from Testimonies, Volume 4, page 534, paragraph 1. This has to do with Nathaniel and how the back and forth with Daniel went down. And the reason, and the reason he was blessed in the way he was is, it kind of reminds me of the way that Jesus literally declares to Peter as he walks up that you are Simon, the son of Jonas, and all that stuff. And he literally tells him his character. He just, even though Andrew, you know, Peter's brother who brought him to Jesus, Andrew never told Jesus any of this stuff because he hadn't, but this is the first time he's bringing Peter to see Jesus, and Jesus does it. He says the things he says to him, like he's going to do here in a moment to Nathaniel, to hit the heart, to let them know something's different here. I know you even before I met you, kind of a thing, okay? Because again, Jesus doesn't do nothing by mistake. But here, let me put this in the room. Again, it's Testimonies, Volume 4, page 534, paragraph 1. It says, the prayer which Nathanael offered while he was under the fig tree came from a sincere heart, and it was heard and answered by the Master. Now, this is important for us to hear this, because the only reason I'm sharing this is I happened to come across this morning in my own private studies, and I thought this would be something nice to share with the brothers and sisters, with my brothers and sisters in the faith, because we're all trying to get ready for that latter rain. Because I got a couple of more, Steps to Christ, and I think Gospel Workers. Yeah, I was going to have three or four altogether. And so, again, it says he's under the fig tree, and this prayer that he had came from a sincere heart, and it was heard and answered by the Master. Christ said of him, behold, now this, before he even meets the guy, in regards to the normal way of meeting someone, he says, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. I mean, he won't even exaggerate. And that's where we got to get, brothers and sisters. We can't even, white lies are lies just like anything else. Because some people think an exaggeration isn't a lie. But yes, it is. If you're gilding the lily in any way, shape, or form, or you're making something up or vent an argument or something, that's guile. It's exaggeration. So She goes on to say here that the Lord reads the hearts of all and understands their motives and purposes. And then she quotes from the Word of God, it says, the prayer of the upright is his delight. And then she says, he will not be slow to hear those who open their hearts to him, not exalting self, but sincerely feeling their great weakness and unworthiness. And so, yeah, that prayer was very sincere, and the Lord understood it. How many times have we noticed, by the way, when we pray, because a lot of us, we get a little bit too routine-y when praying, myself included, you know, and I have to stop and I say, Father God, I'm sorry. I don't want this to be routine. I like to have this as a conversation. I'm not going to walk up to my wife one day and say the exact same 10 words that I said to her yesterday. No, and I don't want to be that way with you. And so... you get into a better conversation with them that way, and a better prayer, because pray means to talk, and you get into that better conversation, and then you just calm down in your heart, and you listen. And if you're having a hard time listening, grab your Bible, even if it's in your cell phone, turn on your Bible, and read a couple of statements from the Word of God. I like to jump into Proverbs or Psalms or Proverbs, you know. Like if I'm out in the midday prayer and I'm kind of like overwhelmed at all the stuff that's happening and I don't know where to start. And so I'll just go into Psalms or Proverbs, flip through it real quick, hit one of them and just start reading it, because no matter where I'm at, truth is truth. And then it might, you know, bring up an idea that I had previously that I hadn't discussed with him yet. We have to come to him in a humble way, knowing that there's no other person that we're seeking this advice or this help from. And in the coming days, brothers and sisters, when we can't legally, well, you can go legally if you wanted to, but unless you want to get the mark of the beast, you can't even go to the AMA, to a doctor. And that's why the Lord's allowing certain things to happen, to where some of us are finding ways to, be healed without the AMA. And we've been doing that for years, but certain things have happened recently that I kind of want to keep private. But it is going to be part of my testimony this week or this month. But it's amazing to see how the Lord's hand moves and how he gives us confirmation in that movement. But natural remedies, yeah, amen. Because the Lord used natural remedies. Remember when he told the guy to wash his face at the pool of Siloam? That's because Jesus made some mud out of his own spit and put it on the guy's eyes and said, go wash. That's a natural method. I mean, he created the planet. He knew what was in the dirt, and he knew what that man needed. And, of course, the man had faith. But check this out. I'll put in Steps to Christ, page 91, paragraph 1. That's Steps to Christ, 91, paragraph 1. And again, please, if you want that latter rain, if you want to get serious, and especially the next one that I'm going to share after this would be from Gospel Workers. But it says, never should the Bible be studied without prayer. Before opening its pages, we should ask for the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit, and it will be given. That's not a question. It's a fact. It always happens. So, and then she goes on to say here that when Nathanael came to Jesus, the Savior exclaimed, behold an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. Nathanael said, whence knowest thou me? And keep in mind why Jesus is saying no guile. He wouldn't even ask. Remember when Philip came up to Nathanael and said, we found the Messiah? You know, like what Andrew did to Simon. He says, we found the Messiah. He's telling his brother, but Philip's telling Nathanael. And he says, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And he goes, Nazareth? Anything good come out of Nazareth? And in other words, he's not kidding here. He's not showing any exact, he's blunt. Okay, some people might say that's a little bit too blunt, but I'm sorry, that's just truth is truth. And it might upset some people, but it's blunt. And so Jesus answered, she says, and of course, quoting from the scripture in John chapter 1, it says, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. And again, it's John chapter 1, verses 47 and 48 that she quoted. And then she says that Jesus will see us also in the secret places of prayer. If we will seek him for light, that we may know what is truth. Angels from the world of light will be with those who in humility, again, there it is again, humbleness, in humility of heart, seek for divine guidance. Now, this next one is a bit intense. And for those, because I know some of the brothers and sisters that I've talked to over the years, and I've asked them, how often you, like, whenever anybody calls me and they have this problem or that problem, I kind of already know why you have those problems. The easy ones, I'm saying. Like, say, if somebody says, oh, I got all these financial problems. Really? When was the last time you tithed? And that's usually what you get, crickets. And the reason I mention it, not because I'm asking for money, because we never do. That's just not something the SDR people do. That's why when you see people online doing this, claiming to be SDRs, they're not. We actually caught another one doing it, trying to sell the ARLAC book, the Religious Laws Are Coming book, on another book-selling website. Brother Stephen, I think, found it, and then Alvin got a hold of the company that was selling the books, and again, that was pulled. Because we don't want anybody to think we're in it for the money. We don't do that. The Lord always gives us what we need, and we'll give you the book for free. Let me just share this, though. I'm going to jump back into what I was talking about here in a minute. But I think you need to hear this, what she says here in Gospel Workers, page 251, paragraph 2. Again, Gospel Workers, 251, paragraph 2. It says, we talk about the first angel's message and the second angel's message. And we think we have some understanding of the third angel's message. But as long as we are content with a limited knowledge, okay? As long as we are content with a limited knowledge, we shall be disqualified to obtain clearer views of truth. And when I read that this morning, I was thinking, whoa, because I do know some of the brethren that read the Bible maybe once a month or maybe once a week. Or they'll come to a Bible verse and they will skip over it because they just can't figure it out. The Lord watched you do that. He says, okay, you're just going to give up. Well, then you really don't want to dig. Remember what he said? Digging for the pearl of great price. He doesn't say go out there and wander around. Oh, look at that. There's a pearl. Pluck it and go home. No, you got to dig for that pearl of truth. And sometimes it takes a little bit to understand. And I know when I first started reading the Bible, I couldn't understand heads or tails of it, especially because it was Old English. And then somebody thought in their infinite wisdom to buy me an NIV. And I thought, oh, that got a little easier. And so I started reading the NIV for a few years. I was still a Sunday keeper at the time, and I remember sitting in Pastor Russ's church, and he always preached from the King James, and that was it. And I'm the only one walking in, or other than his daughter. His daughter also read the NIV, but she rarely came to church. Isn't that always the way, though? And that's sad that, you know, your own children sometimes don't want to hear it. But that's, you know, that's where prayer comes in. So don't worry about your kids. Just keep praying for them. So anyway, I'm sitting there in a pew, and every week I'm finding something he said that's just not in my Bible. And he caught on that I was doing that, and he never said anything. He waited about a month or two because we would go to church three times a week, you know. I think it was like a month or two, and he finally saw me shaking my head. And he goes, you found another one, didn't you? And he says it right from the pulpit. He's looking at me. I'm in the first pew with the wife and kiddies. And I go, excuse me? He goes, yeah, you found another verse that's missing, didn't you? He says, how on earth did you know that's what I was doing? But because he knew about the NIV, and I didn't yet, right? And I says, yeah. I says, every time you speak from that Bible, it doesn't seem to match with the one I have. And he goes, yeah, that's because it's kindling. It's not a Bible. So I did a study on it. And I did a sermon on it, and praise God, his daughter was there when I did the sermon, and so she got rid of the NIV. And why? It's because her dad didn't tell her. Somebody different told her. And that's why I say prayer works for your kids. The way I pray for our kids now that are still a little bit confused out there in the world, let's say, and when I say my kids, it could be, you know, my children or their children, you know, because I got a lot of kids. And so, and friends, you know, young friends and stuff, I look at them as my kids and church family. And so when I think of them, I pray about them an awful lot. And so I pray that the Lord sends them somebody that believes the way we do, because when you hear it from mom and dad, it's like, it's mom and dad, you know. And when someone else says it, regardless if they remember mom and dad saying it, it all of a sudden clicks in their mind, saying, you know, I heard that someplace before. Yeah, because mom and dad said it. But praise God, you don't remember it was mom and dad or something, because now you believe it. Same thing happened to me and Fran a couple of times, that she was being blessed by the Lord to understand something and do it a certain way, and I wasn't catching it yet, or vice versa. And then, you know, I would repeat what I understood, or she would repeat what she understood, and I'd go, yeah, well, you know, or she'd go, yeah, well, you know, I'm not convicted yet, kind of a thing, or whatever. But when she heard the same thing I was saying from somebody else, or I heard the same thing she was saying from somebody else, then it clicked. That's why Titus 3:10 is so important. Don't keep harping on the person over and over and over again. Do what the Lord said to do. Give the heathen, you know, one or two admonitions, and then reject, walk away. Because the Lord's going to send somebody else to do the same thing, and then maybe it'll click when they hear it from somebody else. And why does it say one or two instead of just strictly two? Because one, like sometimes when you share the truth with one person, they get exceptionally angry, and they might even haul off and hit you. Well, you know, you don't have to bother with that person again. You walk away. So again, as long as we were content, or we are content with a limited, well, thank you, Lord. Hold on a second here. Hebrews 4. Right? Is it 15? No. It's Hebrews 5:15, I think. No, there is no 15. Yes, it's 14. I'll be sharing that in a second here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay. So again, as long as we are content with a limited knowledge, we shall be disqualified to obtain clearer views of truth. In other words, if you don't want to dig, then you're not going to get any of the clearer views. You're going to get a basic understanding of the scriptures. He's not going to be able to use you during a loud cry, and so, you know, you have to take a nap before he gets here. So again, but as long as we are content with a limited knowledge, we shall be disqualified to obtain clearer views of truth. He who holds forth the word of life must take time to study the Bible and to search his own heart. Neglecting this, he will not know how to minister to needy souls. And that's why the Lord just reminded me of Hebrews 5:14, if you want to put it in the room. Hebrews 5:14. But I'll finish this here. It says, the diligent, humble student, seeking by earnest prayer and study for the truth as it is in Jesus, will most assuredly be rewarded. He seeks for help, not from ideas of human writers, but from the fountain, capital F, fountain of wisdom and knowledge, and under the guidance of holy intelligence, he gains a clear understanding of truth. Now check out Hebrews 5:14. But strong meat, you know, better understanding of the truth, strong meat. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. Even those, now listen to what Paul says next, because this is key. Because I've seen this happen. I remember the first time it happened, and I'll share in a minute. Even though whose by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. In other words, when you share your faith, you know, use it by reason of use, the faith, the understanding of the truth, the meat, the strong meat. When you share it with others, he understands you're going to share it, and he's going to give you more inside information. And I remember years ago, the first time it ever happened to me, I was talking to husband and wife on the phone, and after we got all done talking, they go, thank you. They needed to hear what I shared. And I says, yes, so did I. And they go, how on earth can you say, yes, so did you? You're the one that shared it. I says, yeah. And then I explained to them how the Holy Spirit speaks through you. If you use the scripture or share your faith, you'll grow, because he'll just keep giving you words, and it just happens naturally, for lack of a better term. Supernaturally, better yet. Yeah, supernaturally it'll happen. And so, yeah, the verse previous, amen. Hebrews 5:13, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So when you study the scriptures, and I notice this too, even as a baby in Christ, green is all can be, you know, still having blue eyes, right? They haven't even changed color yet, right? And I remember, you know, like I'd be in a crowd of Christians, let's say, because now I'm on fire, left the Catholic Church, and I'm hanging out with people I thought were Christians, you know, and I'm just, you know, well, they were as far as they understood it and as I as understood it, you know. But they're standing in, and I'm standing in that crowd, and one of the guys, like a leader, starts to pray, or he starts to preach. You know, he starts to say something or share his testimony. He says something that I know for a fact is wrong. But because I'm still a babe, I don't know the verse to prove it. But I was exercising my senses so I could discern both good and evil, even though I didn't know how to expose it yet. Because I was in the Bible daily, and I still, even then, couldn't memorize because of my ill-spent youth, and so I kind of ruined a lot of brain cells. And so, you know, I was exercising. And this happens to everyone that follows Christ. Just stay in the Bible. And this is what the atheist can't get. You know, the natural man cannot understand this because it's, you know, they're natural. They're of the world. This is spiritually discerned. And they can't separate those two, or even can, they can't even join those two worlds. They don't realize what the divine nature means. And so they're just straight in for nature, and that's it. You know, the world and all it has to offer. Instead of finding out, why not, you know, hang out with the one who created the world? And then you'll have the best of both worlds. Even though at this point, the best of both worlds is like a misnomer because of the fact that it's not really going to be worth having the best of both worlds until this world is destroyed and rebuilt at the end of the 1,000 years. But still, we can still live in this world as pilgrims doing the work we're called to do. And so the only way we're going to be able to do that is walking with Christ, because he made the world and he knows everything that's in it. He walked a mile in our shoes. He went through things none of us ever will go through so that we don't have to go through them. But if you stay in the Bible daily, don't go to verse 2 until you understand verse 1. And if you need a little help, man, oh man, we got brothers and sisters, phone numbers, emails, you know, ask somebody. We will help you, okay? That's why the FAQ page on the website, or the questions of Sabbaths past, is well over 500. And, well, it could be over 1,000 or so, because I haven't put them all on the site yet. And I'm just one guy getting these questions. Many of my brothers and sisters are counseling each other. Iron sharpeneth iron is just a natural, or a better yet, a supernatural way that Christians work. We share our faith with each other, and that causes our faith to grow even more, because we're going to need more to help those the Lord sends our way. And so when we go into our studies, he gives us a little bit more inside information, because he knows we're serious, we're in the Word, and then boom, it just comes flying up. And so I hope and pray that you were blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day. I'll be back in a minute.